Gracious Father, we thank You so much for tonight, for the power of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, Father, as we go into Thy Word, as we talk about this very, very important subject, we pray that the Holy Spirit that led the men of old to write the Scriptures will lead us to understand. Bless us because we ask it, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, counterfeit of Mr. 666. Now, we could give this message several different titles. Counterfeit? Is baptism necessary? Following God or man? All types of titles could go with this message. But tonight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk about people who have been buried and forgotten by God. Strange as it may be, you may be one of them, buried and forgotten by God. Now, if you should go down the street of this town and knock upon the door of 100 homes, and when the people come to the door, ask them the question, what do you think about baptism? You would receive many, many different answers. Because there's so many different types of baptism practiced today. Some would say it's not important. Some would say it is important. Some would say you should be sprinkled. Some would say you should be immersed. Some would say you should be baptized forward. Some would say you should be baptized backwards. Some would say you should be baptized three times, while others would say one time is sufficient. But it really doesn't matter what people say. But it does matter what the Bible says. Amen? And so tonight, we're going into the Word to study this subject that has a counterfeit. And we're going to look at the counterfeit because as we learn what is truth, we recognize what is a counterfeit. Take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Matthew and chapter 28. The book of Matthew and chapter 28. And look here with me at verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus is speaking, and notice what He says. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Jesus left a command for us to go and tell the world. Tell them what? Tell them about Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. And then we are to baptize them. So Jesus said that baptism was very, very important. Notice what He says in the book of Mark. Turn with me to the next book of the Bible, Mark chapter 16. The book of Mark chapter 16. And let's read verse 15 and 16. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. He said unto them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Notice the wording. He that it believes and is baptized shall be saved. So baptism is important in the Word of God. Some people say, well, it's not important. We don't need to be baptized. But we're going to learn tonight that it is important. But not only are we going to learn that it's important, but we're going to learn what the true mode of baptism is. Because there are many, many types of baptisms practiced today. Look at John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John chapter 3. A few days ago, we talked about this verse in John chapter 3. Remember Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. He's a ruler of the Jews. And Jesus is talking with him. In verse 3, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus made it very clear that we must be born again. But notice what He says in verse 5. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of," what's the next word? "Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now what Jesus was saying is this. You've got to be baptized. There's water and you've got to have the Spirit. Now, friends, don't miss the point. You could go out here and be baptized every type of mode of baptism. Sprinkled, immersed, dipped three times, dipped one time, forwards and backwards, and still be lost. Baptism does not save us. The Bible says you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. You know, oftentimes, and I've seen this happen before, let's say a group of young people want to be baptized, and sometimes young people, and this may even happen with older people, but I've seen it with young people. Young people say, well, if Billy's going to be baptized, then I want to be baptized. And they often do it because others are doing it, not because the Spirit has changed their lives. So they're baptized just because of an influence of someone else. Friends, baptism is something that has to be a personal thing between you and God, between me and God, a relationship. I've got to fall in love with Jesus, and once I fall in love with Jesus, then I want to do what He says, and I want to be baptized, as the Bible says. But let's go to the New Testament. We're in the New Testament. Let's look at another verse. Acts chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts chapter 2. I want you to notice how Acts brings this out about baptism. Acts 2 and verse 38. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now notice the wording here. Jesus says, or Peter said, repent. Last night we talked about the three steps to heaven. Do you remember what they were? Repent, confess, and obey. Three simple steps. But here he says, after you repent, which means sorry for our sins, after we give our life to Christ, then he says we should be baptized. What's the purpose? It says for the remission of sins. That means that baptism is a symbolism of washing away of our past sins. Now we're going to look at that in detail. Still in the book of Acts, I want you to look at chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and this time verse 12. The book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 12. Notice the wording here. Acts 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Notice, women are not excluded from baptism. Baptism is important for both, male and female. And children, if children are old enough to give their life to Christ and want to follow Christ, that's fine. But here the Bible says both men and women. You're in the book of Acts. Let's go to another one. Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. And look here, if you will, at verse 47 and 48. The book of Acts chapter 10, verse 47 and 48. Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now in the Bible you find in most cases we're baptized and then we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In this case, the people had already received the Holy Ghost and then they were baptized. And we'll look at that in detail in just a few minutes. Let's go to another one, Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and look at verse 16. The book of Acts, chapter 22, and verse 16. And the Bible says, and now why tarriest thou? What does the word tarry mean? Wait. Hey, why wait? Why put off? What are you doing, he says. Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now what that means is we don't have to wait a long time in order to be baptized. We give our lives to Christ. We need to be taught. There is a preparation. But it doesn't have to take months and years, my friends, to prepare for baptism. He says, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, washing away thy sins. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Now in the book of Acts, you find a lot of good stories. And this is one of them. One of my favorites. And let me give you the background here, what's taking place. Paul and Silas are out preaching the Word of God. Now I want to tell you, they preached with boldness. And we need some preachers like Paul and Silas today. But here they were, out preaching the Word of God. And they're arrested. And they're brought in and thrown in jail. Now I don't know about you, but if somebody came and arrested me and threw me in jail, I'd probably be a sad boy, you know, a little sad about the whole situation. But not Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are in jail now behind bars, and they're singing praises to God, thanking the Lord that they're in prison for Him. You know, that's the kind of Christian we should be, amen? We should be happy no matter what kind of situation we are in. But they're singing praises to God, and all of a sudden, there is an earthquake, and there's a rumbling, and all the bars to the jail opens up, which means all the prisoners can escape. Now, back in those days, if a jailer allowed a prisoner to escape, he had to pay for it with his own life. And he's about the jailer, he sees the bars are open, and he realizes that most of the prisoners can escape. He takes a sword, and he's about to commit suicide. Look what happens. Acts 16, and look with me at verse 27. Acts 16, 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Don't you love that question? What must I do to be saved? I tell you, I love when people ask me that question. What do I got to do? What must I do? My wife and I had an experience, and this has been some years ago. I went out to Colorado to study with and have a meeting with a Korean group of people. And, of course, I don't speak Korean, so I had to have a translator. And while out there, met a couple that was visiting Colorado there, visiting actually the university from Russia. And they spoke, that all they spoke was Russian. And while in this meeting, we were eating lunch one day, and they're sitting right there by my side, and through a translator, one of the Korean men could speak Korean, English, and Russian, and I used him as a translator, and this couple said to me, through the translator, "Who is Jesus?" Can you imagine in a world that we live in that there are still people that have never heard the name of Jesus? What a question. I loved it, you know, to ask me, "Who is Jesus?" So through the translator, I began to share Jesus Christ with this couple. And as they left to go back to Russia, they took Jesus with them. You never know how far-reaching that would be. So here they are, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with this family, and here they are saying, "What must we do to be saved?" Now notice what Paul says, verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. But notice what happened next. Verse 32. They spake unto him the word of the Lord. Now don't miss it. And to all that were in his house. They gave him a big Bible study. Gave a Bible study to the jailer, to his family, to everyone there in his house. But look what happened next. Verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. They heard the gospel. They learned about Jesus. And as soon as they learned about Jesus, they wanted to be baptized. Friends, baptism is very, very important. Now let's go to another verse, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. The book of Ephesians, because we're about to see how many types of baptisms that the Lord will accept. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you know, there's a lot of different baptisms being practiced today. Did you know that? We've already spoke about some of them. Listen to this. There's the triune baptism. There's a baptism using rose petals. Some people use oil. Some use water, infusion, no water. Some use wine. Can you imagine what kind of high baptism that is? Using wine. Some use sprinkling, telephone, the U.S. Postal Service, Holy Spirit only. Some use salt. I guess one of the strangest baptisms I ever heard of was a grandfather on the East Coast called his grandson on the West Coast, and over the telephone he said, "Now grandson, get ready, I'm about to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now you've been baptized through the telephone line." Well, that was one of the strangest until I heard about this other one. And this one wasn't too many months ago, and I think it was up here close to Charlotte, North Carolina. And it was in the newspaper. It was actually on the news. I saw it on the news one night when they did it. It's called House of Prayer Plans Baptism at the Fire Hose Font. Now, here's what happened. They went out of church that afternoon, and the preacher got a hold of the fire hose, and he held it up in the air and shot the water way up in the air, and his whole congregation came out, and as the water came down over their bodies, the preacher said, "Now, you've all been baptized." Well, I guess that's one of the strangest I've ever heard of for baptism. But let's look at the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. What does God say about baptism, and what kinds of baptisms does He accept? Listen to it. Ephesians 4, look at verse 5. One what? One Lord. One what? Faith. One what? Baptism. Don't miss it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So this means, my friends, that God does not accept all the different kinds that are being practiced today. But He does accept one. And tonight, we're going into the Bible, looking at the Bible verses, and Bible only, to find out which kind of baptism, what kind of baptism does God accept. Let's go to the Bible. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. And here's another one of those stories. Acts, chapter 8. You know, I've got so many favorites here, and this is another one. In Acts chapter 8, let me tell you what's happening here. You guys that are into sports and things, you'll like this one. This is a story about Philip. Philip was a man of God. He was so close to God, always listening for the call of God. And God told him one day, "Philip, I want you to go down here to a certain place because I want you to witness to somebody." So here's a man from Ethiopia. He's riding in a chariot. And while he's riding in this chariot, he's reading from the scrolls. The Bible says there he's reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, Philip must have been a jogger or a marathon runner, because the Bible says he's running along beside the chariot. And here's this Ethiopian up in the chariot, and Philip says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian says, "How can I understand unless somebody comes up here and explains it for me?" So he invites Philip up into the chariot, and they go down the road in the chariot. Philip opens the Bible where he's reading from, Isaiah, and he shares with him Jesus Christ, because the book of Isaiah that he was reading from is the chapter that is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah and what Jesus would do and how He would die on the cross for us. So the Ethiopian gives his life to Christ right there in the chariot. What a place to surrender your life to the Lord. But I want you to see what happens next, because we need to find out what's the true mode of baptism, and this will help us to understand. Look down at verse 35 of Acts chapter 8. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' He answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stop." Hold off right here. Look up at me. Let's stop right here. Now, here's what some people think happened. Now, we're going to go right back to the Bible, because it's not what I say, but it's what the Bible says. Some people think that he said, "All right, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" They stopped the chariot. Philip says to... Now, this is not what the Bible says, but it's what some people say, okay? Philip says to the eunuch or to the Ethiopian, "You wait right here in the chariot. I'm going to run down here to the water. I got a little seashell, and I'm going to get some water in a seashell, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to baptize you." So he goes down, he gets some seashell full of water, he comes back and he sprinkles him on the head, and he's been baptized. Now let's read it correctly, all right? You're in Acts 8, look at verse 38. "He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down..." Oh, wait a minute. What does it say here? "They both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Notice the wording. It says they both got out of the chariot, they both went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, that doesn't tell us a whole lot. It only tells us that they both went into the water. Now, here's what we must do tonight. We must find out how Jesus was baptized, because Jesus is our example. Amen? If we could find in the Bible how Jesus was baptized, then we'll know how we should be baptized. So let's go to Jesus' baptism. It's found in Matthew chapter 3. The book of Matthew chapter 3. And notice what he says. Matthew chapter 3. And look here with me, if you would, please, at verse 13. Matthew 3 and verse 13. Notice what Jesus does and how Jesus is baptized. Matthew 3, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Here it is, verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Notice the wording. Jesus went up straightway out of the water. To go straightway up out of the water means that he was down in the water. And then it says this, And lo, the heavens were open unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, don't miss this. Jesus is baptized by the true mode of baptism. Write this verse down. John 3, verse 23. John 3, verse 23. It says that John the Baptist was baptizing over here at a certain place, and it says, where there was much water. Notice the wording. Where there was much water. Now, friends, listen. If baptism was by sprinkling, he could take a seashell full of water and baptize everybody in Jerusalem. But it doesn't say that. It says he was over here baptizing where there was much water. Jesus came up out of the water. Philip and the Ethiopian went down into the water. All right, let's go to the Bible. Look at Romans chapter 6. It explains what baptism is symbolizing and what it really means. Romans chapter 6. Over and over again, the Bible says when we become Christians that we must first die to self. When a person dies, what comes after their death? Before the resurrection. If you die, what are they going to do with you? They've got to bury you first, then the resurrection. So you have a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Look at what Romans 6 says. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Now don't miss that. You got to die. Look at the next verse, verse 3, or verse 4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice the wording. He says, you're baptized into His death, we're buried with Him by baptism, and then as Christ was resurrected, we come forth a new man or new woman. So, here's what happens. You die. You die to self. You die to sin. Once you die, you got to be buried. Now, let me ask you a question. When people are they buried face up or face down? Face up. That's right. They always put the people in the tomb or in the grave with their face up, not face down. Some people say you're to be baptized face down. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's a death. You got to die. You got to be buried. You're buried with your face up, which means you're put down into the water, and then you come up a new man or new woman in Christ Jesus. Look at the next verse, verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, when I die to sin and I'm buried, that means that the person who is put under the water is buried and forgotten by God. That's right, the old man. You see, when you come up out of that water, you're a new person in Christ Jesus. All your past has been washed away. So, buried and forgotten by God. My wife and I, when we were baptized, I'll never forget that beautiful day when we were baptized, we put under the water completely, came up a new man, new woman in Christ Jesus. What an experience. But now, wait a minute. We've been baptized both ways. We were first baptized by sprinkling, and we thought that that was okay. But then we realized from our study of the Bible that sprinkling is not baptism. Let me share something with you. Paganism brought in many deceptions, many counterfeits into the Christian church. It goes way, way back. It's amazing. If you'll go over to the Vatican, over to Rome, right there in the front yard of the Vatican, you will find these beautiful flower gardens. When you come up to these flower gardens, you have to walk down these steps into and the flower gardens are all around you. Those flower gardens at one time were actually baptismal pools where people walked down the steps to be baptized by immersion. But as all these deceptions came into the church, sprinkling was one of them. You know, when I was in the Methodist church, planning to become a Methodist minister, when a person came to you to be baptized, you always gave them an option. You said, now we can sprinkle you or we can take you out to the lake. But I want to tell you something. Month of January, February, March, it was a lot easier just to put some water on the person's head than to go out and find some lake someplace. So most people got sprinkled. But I realized that was not what the Bible taught. The Bible teaches that we're to be baptized, and baptism is very important. Write this verse down. Galatians 3, verse 27. Galatians 3, 27 says that when you're baptized, you put on Christ. What that means is you have a new master. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want Him to be my Lord and my Savior. Now here's what's interesting about baptism. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. It has only one meaning in the Greek. Only one. And the meaning is to immerse, to plunge under, to be completely covered. That's what baptism is all about. Let me share with you what Martin Luther said about baptism. It's kind of interesting that Martin Luther, you know, the Lutherans today only sprinkle instead of by immersion. But Martin Luther had something to say about this. Let me share it with you. Baptism, this is Martin Luther talking in 1522. He says this, baptism means to plunge something entirely into water so that the water closes over it. Ah, he had it right, didn't he? Let me go on. It would be right, according to the meaning of the word, that whoever is baptized be sunk entirely into the water and then drawn out again. So Martin Luther said the true mode of baptism was to be put under completely and completely covered by water. Now, I can tell this is a serious subject, and I can tell that everybody has a serious look on their face, so I've got to bring a little humor to the message, okay? All right, I got this out of a newspaper, and I think you'll enjoy this. Listen closely. Funny thing about the weather. For a while, it looked like we would never get the rain shut off. Now that the leak has been repaired, we can't seem to get any water through the pipes, and we need rain. At least it isn't as bad as an Eastern paper reported about a long Texas dry spell. It was stated that it was so dry in Texas that the Baptists were sprinkling, the Methodists were using a damp cloth, the Episcopalians just dusted them off, and the Presbyterians were taking them dirt and all. Now, I don't think it's going to ever get that bad, but, you know, it's interesting how people can change beliefs and so quickly do it. Now, here's another question. Is it all right for an individual to be baptized twice? Well, write this down. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 5, you have a group of people that had been baptized. Then they learned more truth, new truths from God's Word, and it says they were rebaptized. So there are some cases to be rebaptized. Let's just say that you've been baptized by the true mode of baptism, which is immersion, and maybe you've backslidden over the years, and you come back to God, and you feel that need to be rebaptized. In that case, it would be fine. But now, wait a minute. I don't want to see people make the mistake that this lady made in our meetings. She came to me, as I think I mentioned this last night, she came to me and she said, I want to be baptized. And I asked her, have you ever been baptized before? She said, yes, I've been baptized 10 times. I said, you know how when somebody says something, you speak so quickly, I say, 10 times? And she said, yes, the other 10 didn't take. Well, I don't know why she thought this one would take. It's not the water that saves us. This has to be understood. It's not something supernatural about water that's going to save you, my friends, because the water baptism is just a symbol of the washing away of our sins. It's not something that's supernatural. If it was, the man who came to me who was an alcoholic, and he said, John, I want you to baptize me. I asked him, I said, you got any problems? He said, I've got a big one, but I don't want to give it up. I said, what's that? He said, I enjoy drinking my alcohol. I said, well, now you need to give that to the Lord and get rid of that before baptism. He said, no, I don't want to get rid of it. Now, I want you to know I didn't baptize him, and not at that point anyway. But let's just say I take this man down to the lake. He's an alcoholic. He wants to be baptized. All right, I'm going to say a few words, and then I'm going to put him under the water. What am I putting under the water? All right, I'm putting the old man. That's right. I'm putting an alcoholic into the water, right? So when I bring him up out of the water, do you know what I'm bringing up out of the water? A wet alcoholic. You see, the water is not going to change him. So that's why the Bible says born of the Spirit, born of the water, born of the Spirit. We've got to give our lives to God first. And once we give our life to God first and ask Him to take care of our problems, then we're to be baptized, because it's a symbol of saying, I want God as my new God. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. And so then we're to be baptized. Now, here's another question. What kind of preparation should we make for baptism? Write it down, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says we should learn God's requirements. What that means is we should understand the basic things in the Bible before baptism. Write this one down. Point number two, Mark 16, 16. We must believe God's Word. If we don't believe the Bible, there's no need to be baptized. So first of all, learn the basic requirements, then believe God's Word, and then point number three, Acts 2, 38 and Acts 3, 19. We must be willing to repent of sin and turn away from sin and experience conversion. Now, here's another question. What about babies being baptized? Here's another teaching that came into the Christian church that was not biblical. Now, it is true the Bible does talk about baby dedications. Jesus did that. That's perfectly fine to dedicate a baby to the Lord Jesus Christ. But no place in the Scriptures does it ever talk about babies being baptized. Actually, it wouldn't be right, because the Bible says when you're baptized, you're supposed to repent of your sins and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. A little baby cannot repent of his sins or her sins and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So every time you read in the Bible about people being baptized, it's people who are old enough to accept Christ, old enough to confess their sins to God, old enough to know exactly what they're doing. Now somebody says, well, how old is knowing what you're doing is and knowing what it's right? Well, I've seen children 9 years old that were pretty much ready to give their life to the Lord, but then I've seen others in their 60s and 70s is probably not ready yet. You know, depends on the mind. But individually, people will know, am I ready for this experience or not? But when it comes to a little child, a little baby being baptized, they just don't comprehend it, and they cannot repent of their sins. Now, let's ask another question. Will baptism save a person? Well, no, because we're saved by the blood of Jesus. But now, wait a minute. Refusing baptism could cause a big problem. Because Jesus said, when you accept me, repent of your sins and be baptized. So we're to be baptized. Now somebody says, well, John, wait a minute. What about the thief on the cross who's hanging on the cross beside of Jesus? He wasn't baptized, they say. Well, he probably wasn't. But I'll say this for that thief. If he could have come off the cross and lived long enough, I'm talking about the thief that gave his life to Jesus on the cross. If he could have come off the cross and lived a while longer, I believe he would have been baptized. But he didn't have that chance. What about somebody on their deathbed who's never been baptized? This is the beautiful part about God's great plan. I believe that the thief on the cross, and I believe also from my study of the Bible, that the person who's on their dying bed and they give their life to Christ and they cannot be baptized, I believe that Jesus' baptism covers their baptism. That's the mercy of God, amen? The mercy of God. But when I have the opportunity, and I know what it's all about, then it is my obligation by God to be baptized by the true mode of baptism. Now, we're going to be having a baptism the end of our meetings here. And we're going to, I give an option too, not between sprinkling and immersion, but I like to give an option of ocean or indoors, you see. And it's still all by immersion and fully covered with water. My wife and I have traveled all across this country and into other countries and witnessed some of the most beautiful baptisms. When we were in the Philippines, we had 5,000 people coming to our meetings. And 1,000 of those made decisions and were baptized. What an experience that was. We had so many ministers out there in the water baptizing one after another. 1,000 people. That was a beautiful experience to see so many. We had the privilege to hold meetings in San Francisco. A doctor, this woman doctor, wanted to be baptized out in the ocean, out in the bay there, with the Golden Gate Bridge in the background. What an experience that was. And that water in that part of the country is usually pretty cold, you know. But it wasn't that day. That afternoon when we went out there and the sun setting, it was just a gorgeous setting as I put this young lady under the water and she came up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, we've had some strange baptisms also over the years. You know, if you do this long enough, there's a lot of humor. You know, the Lord, it's amazing how the Lord, you just look at all the animals He created. He had a little humor, didn't He? I mean, you know, when He started creating the animals and so forth. But the same thing with baptism. Sometimes we have some real strange things to happen. And I'll never forget the one in Ohio. A lady wanted to be baptized, and it was in the month of January, February, March, really cold. It was probably 40, 44, 5, 6 degrees outside, and the water temperature was real cold. But she wanted to be baptized outdoors. And so we found this place. Now, I'm the type of person which I really work with the ministers that I work with. And I'm very kind to them. And I'll show you how kind I am. If a person wants to be baptized outdoors, and if the water temperature is really, really cold, I always let the preacher do the baptizing. Because it's just the kindness that I have in my heart, you know. So this particular day, this lady wants to be baptized outdoors. And so the minister is the one that's going to do it. Now, we go find our way out to the lake that afternoon. Group of people coming along to see this lady baptized. Now, she forgot to tell me and forgot to tell the preacher that she was afraid of water and wanting to be baptized out at the lake. So here the minister and this young lady goes down into the water, and we're on the bank, and I'm closest to them. I'm on the edge of the bank there so I can watch and hear what's going on. And the rest of the people are standing over there watching, and you know, they're so happy that this lady's being baptized. And I heard the minister tell her, say, now listen, I'm going to say a few words, and I just want you to bend your knees, and I'll put you under, and we'll get out of this cold water, because it was cold. They were shivering, you know. She said, okay. He said, all right. And he said a few words, and he said, now I'll baptize you. And he said, bend your knees. And she went, and stiffened up. And he couldn't move her. He said, now, sister, and I could hear it. I was standing on the bank, so I heard what was going on, and the other people didn't know what was happening, you know. And I heard him tell her, now, sister, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to say a few words, and you just bend your knees, and I'll put you under. We'll get out of this cold water. okay. He said, all right, now. And he went and said the few words that he wanted to say, and then she stiffened up, scared to death. He couldn't move her. He looked around, and he knew he had to do something. And he said, all right, now please, sister, you got to help me out here. Just bend your knees and I'll put you under. We'll have the baptism, get you out of this cold water. Okay, okay. I could hear her. You know, she was having a poor thing. I felt so sorry for her. And then all of a sudden he said a few words and she stiffened up the third time. He looked around and all of a sudden he jumped on her and they both went under the water and he baptized her. He got baptized too. So you can see, sometimes you have some real strange experiences. Let me tell you about the one in Santa Rosa, California. Has anyone here ever been to Santa Rosa, California? It is a beautiful, beautiful city, but the water there, in probably central California, is always cold. We had several hundred people come to the meetings, and over 50 of them decided they want to be baptized, and the majority of those that want to be baptized decided to do it outdoors. I gave them the option to be baptized indoors or outdoors, so most of them said, well, let's get a bus and let's go up in the mountains here and find a nice stream flowing from the mountains and be baptized. So that's what we did. We got a bus load up and we headed toward the mountains. And we got up there and it was the most gorgeous, beautiful place. Water, pure, just as clear as could be, coming out of the rocks, and it was just a beautiful spot there to baptize. Well, there were so many, I had to help this time. So here I am, I'm in the water with this guy. He'd baptized one, I'd baptized one. He'd baptized one, I'd baptized one. And after a few people had been baptized, now here's what happened. Every time you put somebody under, when they came up because the water was so cold. You know how it is when you kind of lose your breath from the coldness? And so they'd go, so anyway, this lady comes down and she wants me to baptize her. Long arms, slender body, long hair, beautiful young lady. And she comes down there and I told her what to do, bend your knees and do everything and I'll put you right under. She said, all right, all right. And so I said a few words and I put her under. And when I brought her up out of the water, she came up like everybody else. But this lady, she did this when she came out of the water. And she swung her arms back and she caught me right across the chest. When she did, it pushed me back just about 3 or 4 feet. They didn't tell me there was a 10-foot drop-off. I went straight down and I hit the bottom. And when I came up, I was doing the same thing. So I've been baptized by immersion twice, one in California, you know. But I've seen experience. I remember the Methodist minister who had never been baptized by immersion, never been preached for 30 years in the Methodist church, had been sprinkled. And after studying the Bible together, he said, I want to be baptized. He said, I want you to baptize me. And I'll never forget when I had his baptism, he said this to me. He said, now I really want to make sure this takes. And I thought about that as I was baptizing. So as I said a few words, I put him under the water. And just as I put him under the water, now you should be covered up completely, but I remembered what he said. I want this to really take. I want all my sins washed away. So after I put him under the water, I thought about it. And then I went all the way down to the bottom of the tank. And when he came up, oh yeah, you know. But anyway, it was a beautiful baptism. And this minister today is preaching the same things I'm preaching right here tonight. Baptism is something that is so beautiful, so real. It's something that's a personal relationship between man and God. Tonight, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you a card, and we're planning on having a baptism here. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you a card. Take one, if you will, and just pass them over. And I know I've got too many for each roll, but if that's all right, just take one, pass them over, and leave the extra ones right beside you. And I want you to take these, if you will. Just take one, pass them right on over. I want everybody to have one because there's something on here everybody can sign. It's a little commitment, a decision. Following the Lord. Just take one, pass them over. You have one? Okay, you got it. Leave the extra ones right beside of you. Oh, yeah, 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 okay. Pass these all the way over, all the way over. Yeah. Do you have three in there? Okay. Okay, I want you to take the card and look at it with me. And I want you to really pray about this. Lord, help me to make this commitment, this decision for Jesus. The first one says, I want to be truly committed to Christ. The second one says, I want to be baptized the way the Bible teaches. The third one says, I have been baptized. but would like to be rebaptized. The next one says, please pray for me. I need help in solving a problem. And the last one there is, I would like a personal visit. I pray that you'll take this and make this commitment, because this is your commitment for Jesus. No, baptism is not going to save us. Christ saves us. But it's another plan. And we're going to have a baptism. Maybe you won't be ready. Maybe you just say, hey, John, I'm just not ready to be baptized. But you want to be. None of us are ever really ready. And you're not going to be perfect before baptism. It's a commitment to say, Lord, I want to step out by faith and I want to follow you. So if the Holy Spirit speaks to you tonight and you feel the need to be baptized or rebaptized, I want you to mark that. I'm going to give you just a couple of minutes here to fill these out, and then an usher is going to pick these up, if you will, please. But it's a decision between you and the Lord. Don't worry about what others are doing. Let this be your decision. And I want to see it, you know. I want to see it, because baptism is something that's so beautiful. It's so real. The baptism of the Bible, the true mode of baptism by immersion. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Jesus said, baptize. Baptism is a symbol of washing away our sins, a cleansing, a relationship between me and God. Now I'm just going to be quiet for just, if I can, for 30 seconds to a minute. As Crystal plays and you listen and you take that card and you make that commitment tonight. The big question is, will baptism save a person? Not at all. But refusing baptism can cause a person to be lost, because it means disobedience. Hebrews 5:9 says this, all them that obey him, salvation is given to them. So salvation is for all those that surrender everything to Jesus. To refuse baptism is to refuse the direct counsel of God. A text we read a few minutes ago, Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There is a preparation for baptism. We're not going to do anything hasty. If you decide to be baptized, I'll sit down with you and right here in the meetings go over everything, what it means, the basic things a person needs to know before baptism, so that we understand clearly what it's all about. Because there is a preparation, a surrendering, a following, and doing God's will. I want to be ready when Jesus comes, amen. I want to be ready. Whatever he wants me to do, I want to do it. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for tonight, for the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for what you did nearly 2,000 years ago by dying on that cruel cross so that we can live. And tonight, just like the thief on the cross, we want to surrender our lives to you. But just like all the others, just like the Ethiopian and everyone else who was baptized, we want to follow you. We want to be baptized. And by being baptized, we're saying to the world, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. Lord, to this end, help us each one. Help us to follow you. Help us to walk with you. Help us to be ready when you come. Because we ask it and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.